You know, it's interesting, as I know a lot of us can relate. You know, some days are wonderful and great. Some days are hard. And it's interesting as we especially get ready for this conference. I think there's a lot of warfare, but, you know, sometimes I just don't know why. But it's interesting to me always that you can, like, have a great day and everything's going great in your life. You really have nothing to complain about, and yet you can just have a bad day. And I see so much of this as spiritual. Like, you just get worn down, you get tired, and you get grumpy, and things aren't working right then. But you know what? That's why we come here. That's why we come on Wednesday nights. Because sometimes when things are just not going the way we hope, we can come back here and we can get re-centered on the Word of God. And anyways, yeah, I just think it's great to be here. I do apologize a little bit. I didn't study as well as I would like to study tonight. Excuses, I got a lot of them. Getting ready for the conference, had a meeting today that I was not expecting that went like 4 hours, and that was when I was going to study. But, you know, I don't know. Sometimes maybe some of the best messages, we can just read through the scriptures, and I can give you my comments, and we can take a look at it. So everyone got your Bibles. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30, if you got a Bible. So as we open up to Genesis chapter 30, we really got to go back a little bit. It's kind of interesting. We got to go back really to chapter 29, beginning in verse 31. And we see here, as my heading in my Bible even says, Jacob's many children. And this is where this section really begins, even though the chapter break is a little bit later. But I want us to go back just a little bit, and we see that here in Genesis 29, verse 31 through the end of the chapter, that God had blessed Leah. And blessed her actually with 4 sons. But yet, sadly, we also see a story, right? As we kind of Christian went over last, we see that each time that she had conceived a child, what happened? You look back, what do you see? I look here and I see, like, in verse 32, so Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son named Reuben. Then continues, the Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me. Continues, soon she became pregnant again. And she was pumping out these babies. I mean, it's 4 right in a row here. I believe, yeah, 4. Simeon, the Lord heard that I was unloved and gave me another son. Then continues in verse 34, Levi has another son. And then she says, surely this time my husband will feel affection for me, since I have given him 3 sons. You read this, it's sad, right? I mean, it's really sad. 3 sons, right? And each time seeking, right? And then again, it continues, right? It continues into verse 35. She named this son, 4th son, Judah. Now here she says, now I will praise the Lord. And then she stopped having children. You know, as all this is taking place, right, this had to have been roughly 5 years, 6 years, I don't know exactly, somewhere in that. That's if she had 1 child after another child. Rachel is still there in the picture, of course, and still has not had any children. So it's interesting, as you see Rachel, and we know all about her, the one who was beautiful, who Jacob had worked for 14 years for, the one that he had truly desired. In the whole time, was the one yet, as we read, has not had children. Now again, I look back again at verse 35, and I see a change. I want to read that again. Look at that. Now I will praise the Lord, and then she stopped having children. Something changed here, didn't it? 3 times after each child, seeking the love, the affection, looking again for Jacob's attention, but in the 4th child, it changes. It says, now I will praise the Lord. So we're going to continue now in Genesis chapter 30. Again, we're going to go really fast through it. There's a lot of passages, but let's start with just looking at the first 8 verses, Genesis chapter 30. When Rachel saw that she wasn't having any children for Jacob, she became jealous of her sister. She pleaded with Jacob, give me children or I'll die. Then Jacob became furious with Rachel. Am I God? He asked. He is the only one who has kept you from having children. Then Rachel told him, take my maid, Bilhah, and sleep with her, for she will bear children for me, and through her I can have a family too. So Rachel gave her servant, Bilhah, I'm saying it wrong, I'm sure, to Jacob as her wife, and he slept with her. Bilhah became pregnant and presented him with a son. Rachel named him Dan, for she said, God has vindicated me. He has heard my request and given me a son. Then Bilhah became pregnant again and gave Jacob a second son. Rachel named him Naphtali. And she said, I have struggled hard with my sister and I am winning. I mean, this is like dysfunction in the junction still, right? This whole family, generation after generation, it's going to get better, right? I mean, oh my goodness. So we see to start with this, right? Just go back to verse 1 and 2. We see Rachel was at a breaking point. She was all she could take. She had literally come to this point where now she had become jealous. There's no doubt this was sinful in nature and how she was acting. Yet, if you look at the situation, you know I don't know the exact timeline, but you know it's been 4 kids from the other wife worth the time while she had no children. Right? 5-6 years, maybe somewhere in there, maybe. Yet, she was the chosen, beautiful wife, right? Yet, no children. And also their self-worth. I know it's different today, a little bit. I think it was stronger then on a wife conceiving a child. But as important as it is today for a woman, even then, that's who she was. That was her worth. So much so, if a man had married a wife and she wasn't able to conceive, she was not even hardly considered his wife until she conceived a child, because she wasn't fulfilling the function that he married her for. And so she was at this point here that she's becoming jealous of what is taking place here. And so you think about this. I mean, I could have compassion on this, couldn't you? Seeing this situation, that had to have been extremely, extremely difficult. I mean, and understanding how Rachel had come to this point. This was something that happened over time. This wasn't like day. This was year after year of watching this take place, breaking her down. I'm sure you could imagine how many tears flowed from this woman's eyes. As her husband is with another woman, she's unable to have kids. She's unable to fulfill what she believes is her purpose and calling in life. I mean, to say she become jealous, I mean, it would be completely understandable, right? Completely understandable. To the point here now that she just felt herself completely, utterly useless and just saying that she should just die. You read that, that's sad. It's horribly sad. But her response wasn't godly. In fact, it was sinful. But I can understand it. I mean, so then we see Jacob's response. Now this is where the lesson and the application is going to come into play for all of us, right? We see his response. I don't even have words for what he said and how he acted. I mean, you look what he did there. I mean, look, he became furious. And then he says, he like rebukes her and explains it's true, right, what he said. Boy, inappropriate, wrong in every which way. Am I God? He is the one who has kept you from having children. That was like a dagger. I mean, I couldn't even imagine how she felt at this point. This had to just completely break her emotionally, physically, every aspect of who she was. And Jacob, again, I just can't even imagine how he would say this. I see it as just so cold-hearted. And I see that as I look at this and I think about all of us and our relationships. And everyone here that's been in a relationship, if you're married or with a friend, brothers, sisters, parents, whatever the case is, we often see in God's Word, our Bibles, we see stories of regular people like you and I walking through regular trials that many of us face as we all live in this world. And we often see that as they go through their lives, these people that God was going to use greatly, that things don't always work out the way they hope or the way they would plan. Right? And then what we see is how they react to these things that happen in their lives. You know, as I'm sure emotions can run very high. You imagine this discussion? This isn't a discussion here I see with a husband and a wife. I'd want anyone filming. I mean, I'm sure this was heated, yelling, screaming, crying, nastiness. and hurtful, spiteful. And usually, when we have things like this, it usually happens between those of us that are closest. I don't know why that is. I don't know why. Why is it we hurt the ones we love usually so much and we talk so badly to the ones we love most? But here, we see this situation. And Jacob and Rachel were going through an extremely, extremely difficult season that every single one of us, in some form or another, will experience and walk through. Maybe it's not having children. There's lots of financial reasons. Raising children, the stories go on and on and on, all the problems that we can have. But Jacob reacted to Rachel with being furious. Now, guys, that's our typical reaction, right? Anger, right? Pride, furious, yell, a little bit of yelling. It's not outside of the people God was using, right? I mean, we, all of us are subject to that. It's not right. It's wrong in every which way, and it's sinful. But we see the reality of what was taking place here and how we should not be acting. An example of how we definitely should not act. So then in the end, what he does there, and he turns and he says to her, "It's God who has done this to you." What a hurtful, hurtful thing to say. Now, the sad thing is it's actually true, right? It was God that had prevented her at this point, because God had a plan. He had a plan bigger than this couple, bigger than all of this taking place, and he had a divine purpose for these people and for when these children would be born and how this would take place. But what was happening is they were seeing all the things on the outside taking place, and they weren't as they would hope. It's not as they planned. It's not how they wanted it. And now you have a lot of problems within this household. And I think a lot of us, for me, it sounds really simple, right? But what happens for you guys a lot when things don't go as you plan? I don't know about you, but I get a little furious at times even when things don't go how I think they should go, or people don't act how I think they should act. So I was kind of convicted about this. I was convicted. So as he says this to her there, I think it's really, he's implying that she was basically, because especially in that time, they would have believed that she had done something sinful for God to do this to her, right? There's a common belief. So in Jacob, in saying this to her, right, with a wrong heart, wrong everything, is basically saying that she was somehow responsible in some way to cause God to make her barren. Not a good thing. So again, a huge lesson. I taught last Sunday, we need to die to oneself, is what I taught. And to set aside our own pride, to act with mercy, to act with grace, to act with love, to act in the same way that Christ has acted for each one of us. Because if we don't, we're going to be fools, really. Because this is what Jacob was being, extremely foolish. You know, in every single relationship we have, if it's a friend, a wife, a child, your neighbor, we have all different relationships in our lives with people, right? We are all at some point this week going to have a choice to react to that situation, right? It was right to react to that situation, even if it was wrong, right? That person's wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong, right? We know that, right? But our reaction can be like his here and make the situation 100 times worse than it needed to be. Or we can swallow our pride. We can die to ourselves and act as Christ has acted to each one of us. It's a decision we make, and he made the wrong decision. You know, if we don't stop the situation when this happens, right? He could have stopped it right there, right? As she is, says she's becoming jealous, because, you know, you can read in between the lines, because it says she was jealous of her sister, pleaded with Jacob, give me children or die. You know, that was not just a simple one-liner. There was a lot going on there. You know, there's a lot of fighting between them. There's a whole bunch going on. But again, we have a choice. We can stop, or we can engage in battle, right? He's engaged, right? You want to engage in battle? You know what's going to happen to that battle? It's going to grow. It's going to get worse, and you're going to end up going to war. Stop the battle. Swallow your pride. Die to yourself. And let that person walk through what they need to walk through while you extend grace and love and mercy. And maybe later, once they calm down, you can have a discussion about it, right? Maybe later. But at that point, obviously, that was not the time for him to say what he has said to her. We are all guilty. I am really bad about this. to buy into that. And it's Satan's tactics to break relationships. I mean, it's not just, again, it's not just with our wives, it's with our friends, our family. It's with every person that we have a relationship with. So let's see. Look at, again, look what happened now in 3-8, just as we look. Because now she's going to react, right? Take my maid. We've read this story before. This family has a history of doing this, don't they? There was some culture to it. But now they're following this tradition. And it was not according to God's will. God had a plan. But this was not according to God's will. And now, Jacob, after fighting with her, has now introduced another woman and slept with her. I can't even imagine what that household would have been like. What a mess. I was reading that. Guzik said, much like Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham in a surrogate mother type arrangement, Rachel gave her maid to Jacob. Now we see there's two more children that came out of this. But thing is, Rachel was still searching, seeking, right? She was seeking to find out, to have children, to be loved. But she was seeking now in all the wrong ways, trying to have a family. You know, I think a lot of people, we do that, right? We do that. Men, there's a lesson right here. You know, Rachel didn't feel loved. Leah, we just read, didn't feel loved, right? That goes back, shouldn't have had two wives in the first place, but that's a weird story by itself, right? But neither one of his wives, if you noticed, did not know they were loved and feel loved by Jacob. And because of this, we're seeing a whole tragedy of problems and things that have happened, and problem after problem. So again, Rachel, she's found false hope in this. So both Leah, Rachel, seeking to be loved in the wrong ways and have caused all sorts of problems in their families. Do we see that today, the married couples? All the time. One or the other, one seeking respect, one seeking love, right? If they don't get it in their relationship, they seek it elsewhere in different ways. If it's through work, or if it's through relationships, or if it's through somewhere else, they're not getting it in their relationship, in their marriage. So often, they seek that to be affirmed outside the marriage. So husbands, wives, let's take notice. Let's make sure that we are giving the love and respect to our spouses so they're not outside somewhere else looking for that. And now, there's a responsibility, right, for the other side, right? Obviously, we shouldn't be out there searching somewhere else, but it's two sides, right? We both have a part, right? Both have a part. So let's look at 9 through 13. A little off track, but I think there's major relationship problems here. Major, major. So 9 through 13. Meanwhile, Leah realized that she wasn't getting pregnant anymore. So she took her servant, Zilpah, and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Soon, Zilpah presented him with a son. Leah named him Gad, for she said, "How fortunate am I?" Then Zilpah gave Jacob a second son, and Leah named him Asher. For she said, "What joy is mine! Now the other woman will celebrate with me." So now she has followed this same sinful act, this same sinful behavior for the same reason. It says it right in the end, right? The same problem. Now the other women, they're seeking affirmation outside of their relationship with their spouse again and doing anything possible, following horrible examples, to seek that and find that. And there's this battle going on between these two wives, these two women. It's a battle. It's a war. Each seeking. But now, Leah also is falling into jealousy. It's like just the back and forth, right? Back and forth. It's like relationship 1-1. Someone's got to stop it at some point, or it's just going to get worse. So now, she has Jacob help. They have two more sons. You know, one thing for sure, what can we see? I think one thing we can all agree on, Jacob's an idiot. Oh my goodness, this guy is an absolute moron. I mean, he is just, look at this guy, what he is doing here. I mean, Jacob's house, you imagine what this was like? We got four wives now, all different kids from every which way, everyone fighting, everyone's jealous. They literally says they're at battle with each other. I mean, the scripture is clear, they're fighting. I mean, this house was like a reality show you'd see on TLC, right? Showing about a Mormon family or something. I mean, it would just be, God did not design us to live that way. That would have been insanity. And again, He could have at any time in this whole sequence, he could have stepped up, right, and done the right thing. He didn't. He didn't do the right thing. So men, there's a time where we have to step up and do the right thing and accept responsibility. He should have never done these things. He should have first started off, he shouldn't have become furious with his wife. But then it just continued, right? It continued and continued. It got worse. It just kept snowballing, right? We call it snowballing, right? It's like when you roll a rock down the mountain, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, it's just destructive. And this is what he's doing. And he's allowing these women in his life to continue in this. So each of these women, again, what are they seeking though? This is amazing. What are they seeking? They're seeking joy. They're seeking acceptance. It's clear. In other things than God. And what has it resulted in? Utter and complete total chaos. It's what happens when we seek the things of the world and not the things of God. It creates utter and complete chaos. So let's continue on 14 through 21. But Leah angrily replied. Wait, sorry, 14. One day during the wheat harvest, Reuben found some mandrakes growing in a field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Rachel begged Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But Leah angrily replied, wasn't it enough that you stole my husband? Now you steal my son's mandrakes too? Rachel answered, I will let Jacob sleep with you tonight if you give me some of your mandrakes. And what is going on? Right? I mean, this guy's like a pawn getting played between all these women. This guy is not being the man of God that we should all be, right? I mean, he should really step up at some point and stop this madness in his life and be the man God called him to be. I mean, this guy was specially called out. It's nuts. So look at, continue on. So that evening, as Jacob was coming home from the fields, Leah went out to meet him. You must come home and sleep with me tonight, she said. I have paid for you with some mandrakes that my son found. So that night he slept with Leah, and God answered Leah's prayers. She became pregnant again and gave birth to a fifth son for Jacob. She named him Issachar, for she said, God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband as a wife. Then Leah became pregnant again and gave birth to a sixth son for Jacob. She named him Zebulun, for she said, God has given me a good reward. Now my husband will treat me with respect, for I have given him six sons. Later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Okay, I mean, where do you start with all this, right? I mean, where do you start? Mandrakes, what is that? I mean, you read about this, right? It's kind of odd. And what is it? It's believed that it was like some say it's like an apple, part of a root. I kind of looked it up a little bit. I've heard about it before. It's kind of a tail, really, I believe. I don't think it really has true medicinal properties. Maybe it has some, but there's lots of stories, if you can read up on that in your own time, what that may or may not do. But it's they believed if it was eaten, that it would help a woman in becoming pregnant. If that was on the man's part, the woman's part, there's lots of debate. I don't know. But remember, Rachel still had not had a child of her own. She was still barren. And apparently she really believed that this fruit, this mandrake, if she took of it, a god of it, that it would be make this possible, that she then would be able to have a child possibly. So she was desperate. And it would seem that Jacob had been spending time with Rachel, because Rachel then bargains with Leah, sending Jacob to be with her as she would give up some of these mandrakes. I mean, this is like a soap opera, isn't it? It's like back and forth. It's just nuts. So all this took place. Jacob knew all this that was taking place. And then he went with Leah, and she had three more kids. How do you keep track? I mean, we're jumping like years at a time here. You think about it, this is like four more years now just happened, right? Now, the hostility between Leah and Rachel was obvious, right? And it was growing. It had to have been painful. They're in the same household. I don't know exactly how that worked, but they're in the same household. Seeing the person that you despise most in your life every single day and seeing them with your man every day. Imagine that. That'd be something else. I mean, this would have been terrible living in this house. If I was Jacob, I'd have been out in the field all the time. I mean, where one wife believes that the other wife stole the wife. I mean, this is just crazy. I read Guzik, he gave this analogy. He says, the wives fought each other as they were in a poker game. Right? You think about that. He says, I bid one wife, loved and beautiful. I bid one wife and four sons. All, remember, they're all trying to get his affection, his love, right? Then the next one, I'll match your one wife and raise you a concubine with your concubine's two sons. I'll raise you another concubine with two more sons by her, plus two more sons of my own, and I'll throw in a daughter. I'll stand with one wife, one concubine, six sons, and one daughter. Nobody was going to win this game, were they? Nobody was going to win this. So we read this, remembering years have gone by, this battle between the wives, the battle over being accepted and loved by Jacob has continued, each seeking the acceptance and love of Jacob is what they were seeking. I mean, that last line we read, where was it? I mean, what verse is it? 20. God has given me this reward. Now my husband will treat me with respect. Jacob holds so much responsibility in all of this, I truly believe, because both of these women, countless times and over again, were seeking from their husband love and respect. And obviously, it wasn't being provided. Let's look at 22 through 24. Then God remembers Rachel's plight and answered her prayers by enabling her to have children. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. God has removed my disgrace, she said, and she named him Joseph. For she said, may the Lord add yet another son to my family. Now again, we're not really sure if these mandrakes ever had anything to do with this. I don't think they did. But Rachel, after all of these years, has now had a son of her own. And this son, Joseph, is very important as we're going to continue on through Genesis. Very, very important. And I see all of this stuff beforehand, without getting into the weeds a lot and a lot of details, was not of God, right? Now, this was God. God has brought Joseph in, and he's going to use this man in great, great, mighty ways. And I don't know exactly how it all works in God's eyes, but I know they were not, there's no way with involving everything before they were walking according to God's will. They were all seeking their own fleshly desires. They were all seeking to fulfill needs in their lives that were not being fulfilled in man's in their flesh. But now, interesting enough, Rachel has had a son, Joseph, that was of the Lord. It's very interesting when you see all of this put together. And God's going to use it all, right? He's going to use all these, everyone here, he's going to use it all. Just because God is going to use it all, right? And all of that craziness and all that ugliness and all that sinfulness and all that, God's going to use it all. That doesn't mean it was according to God's will, right? It doesn't mean all that was according to God's will. But God can use it, and he's going to use it. We're going to see throughout the entire Bible, God's going to use it. But that doesn't mean that was according to God's plan and how God had intended or designed this to work out. God's timing, again, has allowed Rachel to give birth. Man, what a mess leading up to this, huh? Look at all the stuff she did. The carnage, the battles, the war, all the problems, the broken relationships. Wow, what a mess she caused. Now, Rachel, in having a son, what does she believe? This is sad again. What does Rachel believe now that she's had a son? That she'll be loved and that her disgrace would be removed. This is a sad story. She finally has her own child and says, maybe he'll love me now. That's just heartbreaking. We're going to go fast to the next section, 25 through 43. Soon after Rachel had given birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, please release me so I can go home to my own country. Let me take my wives and my children, for I've earned them by serving you, and let me be in my way. You certainly know how hard I have worked for you. Please listen to me, Laban replied. I've become wealthy, for the Lord has blessed me because of you. Tell me how much I owe you, whatever it is, I will pay it. So Jacob was looking now to return to his home, to his promised land. Now we know, and Laban knew, that he had been blessed by Jacob being there, by God through him somehow. And now he's asked him to stay because he's been blessed through him being there. He's gotten very wealthy. So let's see what's going to happen in 29 through 33. Jacob replied, you know how hard I've worked for you, and your flocks and herds have grown under my care. You've had little indeed before I came, but your wealth has increased enormously. The Lord has blessed you through everything I've done. But now, what about me? When can I start providing for my own family? What wages do you want? Laban asked again. Jacob replied, don't give me anything. Just do this one thing, and I'll continue to tend and watch over your flocks. Let me inspect your flocks today and remove all the sheep and goats that are speckled or spotted, along with all the black sheep. Give these to me as my wages. 33. In the future, when you check on the animals you've given me as my wages, you'll see that I have been honest. If you find in my flock any goats without speckles or spots or any sheep that are not black, you will know that I have stolen them from you. Now, you look at this request, and I'm pretty sure this request probably seemed very good to Laban at the time. I'm sure at this time there was not many animals that fit this criteria, and that he thought he was getting a good deal, because he knew at some point this was bound to happen. He was going to have to leave. But again, also, it was a very simple and applicable way to separate, right? You could just divide the line. Here it is. This is yours. This is mine. And so I think that it's interesting. God was inside of this whole thing. And I don't know how all this works. I'm going to read a little further. But to Laban, this seemed not such a bad deal, really. So let's see what happens at 34 to 36. All right, Laban replied, it will be as you say. But that very day, Laban went out and removed the male goats that were streaked and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted or had white patches, and all the black sheep. He placed them in care of his own sons, who took them 3 days' journey from where Jacob was. Meanwhile, Jacob stayed and cared for the rest of Laban's flock. So it was done. They were separated, right? The wealth was kind of split. And Jacob even stayed back to be a good steward, to continue to take care of Laban's flocks. Yet he took his sons with all these animals that he had got for his payment, all his work that he had done. He took his sons 3 days' journey away. So this way there would be no mixing, no questions, no battles, and a separation has now taken place. 37 through 43. Then Jacob took some fresh branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and peeled off strips of bark, making white streaks on them. Then he placed these peeled branches in watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, for that is where they were mated. And when they mated in front of the white streaked branches, they gave birth to young that were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Jacob separated those lambs from Laban's flock, and at mating time he turned the flock to face Laban's animals that were streaked or black. This is how he built his own flock instead of increasing Laban's. Whenever the stronger females were ready to mate, Jacob would place the peeled branches in the watering troughs in front of them. Then they would mate in front of the branches. But he didn't do this with the weaker ones, so the weaker lambs belonged to Laban, and the stronger ones were Jacob's. As a result, Jacob became very wealthy with large flocks of sheep, goats, female and male servants, and many camels and donkeys. So there's a lot of stuff you can read upon on this, right? I'm not going to get into it today. And how this worked or didn't work, or the superstitions behind it, or maybe it was just incredibly intelligent and he understood how breeding worked. There's lots of subjective things about this, or maybe it was just God that blessed him. Whatever the case is, it's pretty obvious in some form or another, Jacob had used selective breeding to increase the strength and the flock in general, the numbers, and the healthy, to make them very healthy. Now, again, we don't know exactly how this all worked. Again, there's all sorts of writings and speculation on how this took place. I mean, we can read it there. But some people believe that maybe he had a lot more knowledge than we give account for in what he was doing there. Or maybe it was just that God was with him and blessed him, and this is what it looked like. Interesting, though, in Genesis 31, 10 through 13, we know that Jacob in a dream saw these sheep and goats, and that this dream that he had was connected with the promise of God's care for Jacob and his return back to the promised land, the land of his family. So I went through that real fast. Again, there's studies all done on that. You can read all into it if you want. I just want to highlight a quick few things, starting with going back to the names. I was looking this up. I didn't come up with this on my own. But these names are interesting, right? We got 11 names so far. There's one left still to come. But if we go through the names, it's pretty interesting. I don't know if a lot of you have done that. Judah means, now I praise Yahweh. Reuben means, surely Yahweh has looked upon my affliction. Gad means, what good fortune. Asher, happy I am. Naphtali means, with great wrestlings I have wrestled. Manasseh, I'm not saying that one right. Manasseh means, for Elohim has made me forget my toil. Simeon means, because Yahweh has heard that I was hated. Levi means, now this time my husband will be joined to me. Issachar, Elohim has given me my wages. Zebulun, Elohim has endowed me with a good gift. Now my husband will dwell with me. Joseph, Yahweh shall add to me. Then Benjamin will be next. But Benjamin means, you shall have a son. So as you see these 12 sons, we know there's 12 tribes. Now what if you just put all that together, what I want to read it. And I looked this up. I didn't come up with this on my own. It says, now I praise Yahweh. Surely Yahweh has looked upon my affliction. What good fortune. Happy I am. With great wrestlings I have wrestled with and have prevailed. For Elohim has made me forget all my toil, because Yahweh has heard that I was hated. Now this time will my husband will be joined unto me. Elohim has given me my wages. Elohim has endowed me with a good gift. Now my husband will dwell with me. Yahweh, add to me, you shall have this son. Isn't that cool? I got it written up here if anyone wants to see it. But again, what it starts with is Yahshua, and it ends with him also, with the son being born in the end. It's pretty neat. The beginning and the end, the author and finisher. Another thing I want to just, which I capped on a lot as I went through this, is this dysfunction that was going on in this family. And I think as I read this, there's a lot in this, but what I see with these two women, that both of them were unhappy. Both of them were seeking love from their husband. Both of them were seeking respect from their husband. And I believe what we had basically was an absent husband, not fulfilling his role. And then a husband, as things started taking place that should not have been taking place, that did not step up and take care of the things they needed to take care of. And then these wives, they started looking in all the wrong places and doing all the wrong things to seek these things that they desired. And it made a huge, huge, huge mess. And I just challenged all of us that we need to love each other, husbands and wives. We need to love each other in ways that they won't be looking outside somewhere else. We need to respect each other, that they won't be seeking respect in a different area in their lives. You know, men is bad. Well, a lot of times we'll seek work for respect, right? Women, if they're not getting love from their husbands, they'll go outside and seek that elsewhere. Whatever that looks like, it's a little different, but it's a real problem, right? It's a real problem for all of us. We need to be fulfilling our roles and our relationships that God has ordained. Otherwise, things like this can happen. And then also my last lesson is for all of us, there is a choice in each one of the situations that they could have stopped, right? They could have stopped the argument, right? They could have, one point or another, they could have said, I'm just going to die to myself. I'm going to lay down my pride. I'm going to suck it up and just let this go. And they didn't. They didn't. And it goes both ways. It goes both ways. But there's a point where we really, do we want to go to battle? Do you want to go to war? Because I know most of you, you're willing. I'm willing. It's not the answer. You know? I heard someone say the other day, you know, we know the Bible verse, right? Never go to sleep before you settle your arguments with your wives, right? You heard that before? And someone said, yes, stay up all night and fight. No. That's exactly what we shouldn't do. We should let it go. We should give grace. We should give mercy. And, you know, sometimes correction is needed, but usually not at that moment. You know, right here when I read this here, when Rachel was at her worst, right, when she had become jealous, when she's to the point of hopelessness and despair, and she's like, I just want to die. Jacob had a choice, right? He had a choice of how to react to that. And instead of laying down his own pride and coming alongside her and ministering to her, he became furious. Became furious with her. That's not the answer. Never is the answer. Well, pray with me and we'll break up into small groups. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Such an interesting story, Lord. So many details in this. I don't understand, Lord. This family that you've used is, I couldn't write a more dysfunctional family. I can't even imagine what has happened in all these years that we read here, the dysfunction that was taking place here. Yet inside of all of this dysfunction, all of this sin and all this anger and fighting, Lord, you were there working, working to accomplish your will and your plan, and even using these people to do that. So, Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, would accept your will at times, even though things aren't working out as we would plan or as we had hoped. But, Lord, we would just be able to find our rest and peace in you. And, Lord, it's true, Lord, each one of us as husband and wives and in relationships, Lord, we show love and respect. But ultimately, Lord, that comes from you above, that we would seek you in these things, Lord, and we would receive your love and we would respect you. And Lord, as we do that, as we surrender our lives to you in this way, Lord, it will show through all of our relationships. And Lord, that we would just, Lord, lay down and surrender each and every day. And Lord, just, Lord, you just pour into us, Lord, and do for us through your Holy Spirit that what I am not capable of, Lord. And that's just to, Lord, just look at my wife. Just say, I love you. I love you. How can I come alongside you as maybe these times you're dealing with? So, Lord, I just pray that you do for each one of us what we're not capable of. And, Lord, that we would be an example in every one of us, Lord, from our children, our wives, our friends, our brothers, our sisters, Lord, everyone around of us, Lord, of you and your grace and your mercy. And, Lord, that we wouldn't, Lord, cause strife, Lord, but they would know us for our unity amongst each other. And all God's people said, Amen.